Happy Friday. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Right across from me is RCPD Director Brad Schoen, and we got some phone calls. We'll go ahead and start off with the phone call. Go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
Well, you know, Manhattan gets a wide variety of people in here from all over the country and all over other countries. Not all these people are good people. And I think that vehicle you bought, if it will save our officers' lives and save our residents' lives here, make things safer in general, is a good thing. And I thank you for doing that. And I kind of wish maybe you wouldn't have put it off this long, but then again, I can see why you did. And so, anyway, you just have my vote of support for it. That's all I needed to say.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, one of the things I hope people understand from this is it was a reasoned decision. You know, it wasn't a snap response to a single incident. You know, and like I said, the guys were advising me a couple, 3 years ago that we needed to do this. Of course, funding was a part of that. But the other part of it is need. You know, and frankly, also another, there's a lot of components to this. One of them is this whole militarization of the police issue. I've been a strong advocate against that for any number of years. I mean, at walking
against
down
the notion or against
the actual doing of it. I mean, look back at Ferguson. What did you see? I'll remember this till the day I die. You saw a guy sitting on top of a military vehicle, and keep in mind that the military had this program where they were giving actual military vehicles away to civilian law enforcement. And he was dressed in a black kit with the helmet and the gloves and the optics to hide his face.
Yeah.
And he had a sniper rifle with a scope pointed at a civilian crowd. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, what kind of statement are you making there? And yeah, that went national. Everybody saw that. And when people think about the militarization of police, that's one of the pictures. I think that, to me, that's an iconic picture. It's like walking on a campus and looking at Anderson Hall. You're like, there is the iconic building on K-State campus. Well, the same thing happens when you talk about the militarization of police. People see that picture, and they're like, that's what we're talking about. So I wanted to avoid that. This vehicle is not a military vehicle. It's a civilian vehicle built by a civilian company for law enforcement purposes. It has no offensive capabilities, purely a defensive platform. Well, okay, let me back up just to be perfectly clear. We can use it to put gas, what people like might refer to it typically as tear gas. It's a little different than the traditional tear gas, but we can use it with a boom to put it in a house. Right now, you know how we do that? We have guys sneak around to where they can get a good look at the house, and they put it in with projectiles through the windows. Same effect, but in this case, you could be under inside a vehicle with ballistic protection that lets you do that. That's the only offensive capability it's got. It has no other weapons or anything like that. It's intended purely as a defensive platform. So I appreciate the caller's viewpoint on this because, frankly, it's kind of a balancing act between policing is a risky job at times. Everybody knows that when they get into it. But you can't say to your employees, hey, you know it was a risky job when you got fired. If we have these calls, we're not going to provide you the protection you need to survive. Go out there and, you know, take your risks. You can't say that. But you have to balance the need to protect them against the community's interest in not militarizing the police. So I think we've been pretty darn successful with that here locally. And I might add that I've already got the guys working on the ground rules for taking this thing out. You know, it's not going to be like it's going to every call we've got. There needs to be an unquestionable need for it at any call we take it to. You're not going to see them, even if they have to have it out for training, which will happen occasionally. They're only going to take it out for training when they need to train out of this vehicle. So you're not going to see them going to training and showing up at Pizza Hut and eating at the buffet at Pizza Hut with this thing parked outside. We are aware of how these things can be perceived. And, you know, there might be those out there who say, oh, yeah, you know how they're perceived, so you're going to hide it. Well, no, that's not the intent. But at the same time, you don't throw fuel on a fire either. So we have to find a balancing act between protecting our people and looking out for the interests of the community. I think we can do both at the same time. And to me, this kind of fits into that category. So
here with Riley County Police Department Director Brad Schoen. Again, thanks for those calls. 785-537-1350 is the number to call. Let's go ahead and take one more. Go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
Thank you for looking after your men and looking after us. You know, by the same token, exposing that vehicle around town, I also have encouraged you to have more police cars out on the road for all kinds of duties. I don't think we ought to just isolate that vehicle down at the cop shop. We have an opportunity now to to build a larger facility out at the county yard and probably a fire station and ambulance all together to protect everybody in the county with that. And you'd be have access to the north side of Embath and K-State, and you have your event equipment in the larger warehouse down here at the cop shop, and you can bring it out from the south side of town to kind of coordinate. But you're not looking at 22s and 9 millimeters anymore. So us preppers, you know, have 7.65 by 39. And these New Yorkers that are headed here for Embath, we have 4 day that are inquiring about concealed carry. They've never had a gun before, and they're coming out to gun country and seem to be really interested in that. Thank you for looking out for us and yourself.
Well, again, appreciate the call. It's, you bring up an interesting point. The landscape, particularly in Kansas, but there are other states, typically in the Midwest and West as well, has changed considerably with respect to the view of guns and weapons lately. It's not the same as it was when I was, you know, a young officer or even a kid growing up in Kansas. You know, I mean, I was exposed to guns at an early age. I hunted a lot. But it's like, you know, with open carry and all these things are going on and these relatively low age restrictions on carrying and then concealed carry, and there are, I believe, and we are seeing more down as at the caller put at the cop shop, more weapons coming into play and arguments and these sorts of things. And while I don't intend to convey the message that this Bearcat vehicle will be useful in those sorts of circumstances, because it won't. I mean, those are the sorts of things that the first caller pointed out. By the time it's over, you know, it won't be there. It won't be there in time. It is useful when people find themselves in situations where they're doing things they probably, frankly, wouldn't normally do, and they're doing them over a rather extended period of time, as was the case in the three incidents I described earlier. So, again, I appreciate the call. I'm glad to hear you think it will be useful for us. I'm sure that it will be.
And with that, let's go ahead and take our last break. When we come back, let's expand a little bit about that on the environment and how police departments react to the environments they're in. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Happy Friday.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain Performance Series.